chapter 6, text numbers 35 and 36. Text number 35. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durni Graham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagrayate. Translation. Lord Shri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the super soul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind and spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called Pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuffs offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is a process of Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So here, in these 2 verses, Krishna is discussing about the mind. So this topic of the mind is like the boundary between materialism and spiritualism, we can say. Even people who are nowhere interested in spiritual life, they are also interested in the mind. They are also interested in knowing how to reduce stress, how to get free from anxiety, how to control the mind, how to gain peace of mind. Even people who have nothing to do with spirituality have these questions troubling them. At the same time, a person who is in the field of spirituality has the same question of controlling the mind. So this is like a junction where spirituality meets materialism. Also, from another point of view, materialism ends at mind. We see the modern scientists, or the modern civilization for that matter, they have practically understood everything in this world, but they fail to understand what is this mind, how to control it, what it is exactly, nobody knows. They have made tremendous advancement in the field of science, in the field of controlling matter around them. But this question of the mind continues to plague them. It's a big mystery. We can understand this from recent events also. A very, very famous rock singer, he died recently. And investigation is on what was wrong with this person. And they found out that 1 week before his death, he had called up his doctor telling that, please give me some sleeping pills, I am not able to sleep. And because earlier he was addicted to drugs, they were a little reluctant to give it. And so, somehow he was so desperate to have sleep that he took some drugs on his own, and some say that could be the cause of his death. Whatever it might be, this is what he faced, it's a reality. Whatever the cause of death might be, it is a fact that he had these problems connected to the mind. Now he was one of the richest men on the planet. All the money available in the world he had, and he could call any doctor of the world to treat him. But what can any doctor do? Because they themselves don't know what the mind is. The mind is such a subject that it is quite possible that if one deeply thinks about the mind, he might go crazy. It's such a delicate issue. So that's why you see that amongst professionals, the highest suicide rate is among psychiatrists. Because their subject matter of discussion is the mind. And the mind is so dangerous and deadly because it's a mystery. They think about the mind, what the mind is, how it works. They become crazy, they commit suicide. That's the mystery of the mind. Unsolvable for the people of the outside world. But when you come to the field of spirituality, this is preliminary. This is the first step on the path of transcendence. Shamo dama tapashaucham, it is said. Shama, control of the mind, is basic. Spirituality begins where materialism ends. But even in the field of spirituality, this particular subject of the mind is very, very difficult to solve. Why is that so? It's like this. Suppose you have got some fruits, and you have to store those fruits. You can store them in a basket. But if you have to store fruit juice, then you cannot put them into the basket. The juice will flow out. We require a container with no holes in it, because the liquid will flow out otherwise. But if you got some gaseous substance which has to be stored, then the container should be airtight. What does that mean? Not a single hole anywhere. It cannot escape, because the air is subtler than water. Water is more subtler than solid. And the subtler the element gets, the more difficult to control it. More the constraint, more the number of constraints required to keep it within confines. So the mind is a subtle element. You can predict, if the air leaks out of a container. For example, they put certain aromatic substances inside liquid petroleum gas. It's actually odorless, but they put some amount of odor so that if it leaks out, one can understand it is leaking out. And even if one detects that the gas has leaked out, one knows how much it has leaked out, maybe within this room. So all the windows can be opened. And then it is safe. So we know what could be the range of it leaking out, the air. But the mind, is there any limit for it to leak out? It can leak out unlimitedly. A person might be sitting in this very class and he might be thinking about America, One person might be thinking about America. One person might be thinking about London. One person might be thinking about the moon. Any place, anywhere, the mind can go immediately. There is no limit. The mind has no limits to escape. So it's extremely difficult and subtle subject matter to handle. But the amazing thing about the Bhagavad Gita is that subject matter, which the scientists are finding it most mysterious. It is so mysterious for the scientists that they stop discussing about it. They feel, you know, it's so vague. Cannot understand what it is. So few people think about it also. It's so vague. It's very difficult. Even though the mind is vague, the problems that it creates is concrete. We see in today's world, all problems practically is because of the uncontrolled mind. Any problem at national level, international level, at an individual level, the root of all causes is the mind. The root of all problems is the mind. Yet, the mind, the subject of the mind is so vague that people, the scientists, find it difficult to even handle this question. But we see that same question which Arjuna poses in Bhagavad Gita, Chanchalam hi manakrishna pramati balavadhradam tasyaham nigraham manye vayur ivasudushkaram. Arjuna is telling Krishna, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think is more difficult than controlling the wind. Like the example we discussed just now. Arjuna is telling, I can control the raging wind, but I cannot control my mind. Very difficult for me to control the mind. So Arjuna is posing this question before Krishna, and we see Krishna answers this question in two verses. That is the beauty. That is the expertise of Krishna. No wonder that is why Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the greatest book ever. It has stood the test of time. So many people have written so many books. They have died. The books have gone into the dustbin. How many books have stood the test of 5,000 years? Most of the books remain as bestsellers at the most for 1 or 2 years max. Some maybe 200, 300 years. But which book can compare or match with the Bhagavad Gita? 5,000 years. Because the sort of questions that the Gita answers, those answers cannot be found anywhere else. And Krishna just takes 2 shlokas. To answer this question. What does he say? O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and detachment. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. So Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, it is undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind. Krishna is telling, but it is possible. How is it possible? Abhyasa and vairagya. By practice and by detachment. Now, Krishna answers this question with these few words in this particular shloka. But for the complete answer, the answer spans over the entire Bhagavad Gita. How exactly one can practice and detach oneself? What does it mean? What is the answer? What is the understanding of what Krishna is telling? Prabhupada elaborates in the purport. Helps us understand what Krishna is trying to tell us. How to control this mind. and he gives a very practical understanding. First of all, we have to understand why the mind is so uncontrolled. Why is it so? Why is it so restless? From the shastras, we understand why is the mind so uncontrolled. It's like a little child. A child, it is generally restless when it is outside the touch of its mother. Or before we come to the example of the child, one thing we have to understand is, what is everyone looking for? What the mind is looking for? The shastras give us an understanding that ananda mayo bhyasat, that everyone is looking for happiness. So the mind in this world is searching for happiness, searching for satisfaction. So the mind says, go for this particular thing. If your mind is telling that, one can analyze, why is my mind telling me to go for this particular thing? And if you analyze, you'll understand that the mind is telling us to go after a certain thing because the mind feels that achieving that thing will give it happiness. So the mind, by nature, it is looking for happiness in this world. So the mind, it is searching for happiness in a particular object. And it makes all plans and schemes to obtain that object. But once it obtains that object, very soon it realizes that that object is no longer giving it happiness. So the mind rejects that object. Then the mind, because by nature we are pleasure seeking, the mind is seeking for pleasure. So the thought arises in the mind, maybe this object will give me happiness. Say, a car. So the mind says, get this car and you'll be happy. So the person works very hard to obtain the car. But then, what does he discover? In due course of time, the very object which seemed to give happiness no longer gives happiness. Now the mind is seeking pleasure in some other object, in a new brand of car, which is more expensive. So the man works hard, puts all his endeavor to obtain that new model of car. And once he obtains that new model of car, after some time, that new model of car ceases to give him any more happiness. Now the mind is searching for another object to gain happiness. So in this way, if we analyze, the mind is running from here to there, everywhere, in search of something. What is that? Happiness. But unfortunately, the mind is searching for happiness from birth to death. But nowhere the mind is able to find one place where all the desires of its happiness is fulfilled. And as the mind, it fails in its attempt to obtain an object of satisfaction, the more restless it becomes. The more restless it becomes, the more desperate it becomes. It's like a man who is searching for something. When a man is searching for something desperately, in due course of time, he becomes oblivious to everything else. As I give the example of a little child, a child, when it is desperate for its mother, when it is desperately searching for its mother, it becomes restless. It was sitting so far peacefully, but once it is searching for its mother, it becomes restless. And it becomes uncontrolled because it is frantically searching for its mother. And then it starts crying. And its crying becomes uncontrollable. And all these symptoms described by Arjuna, the child manifests. It becomes restless, it becomes turbulent, it becomes obstinate. Nobody can pacify the child because he's desperate now. And then it becomes very strong. Sometimes it is wonderful and it is like mysterious how children are able to cry out so loudly. They seem to possess extra energy the more desperate they get. That is how the mind is. The mind is seeking pleasure. The mind is seeking happiness. And the poor mind, wherever it has tried to find happiness, it has failed in its attempts. And it is simply becoming restless. Just observe the most uncontrolled minds in history. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. The most uncontrolled minds in history. One example is Adolf Hitler. Now Adolf Hitler, his mind was trying to find pleasure by killing innocent people. Naturally, the mind, it had failed in its attempt to find pleasure everywhere else. So it was looking for obscure places to find pleasure. It is natural. When a person is desperate to find a thing, in the end he starts searching for a thing in obscure places. That's a sign of desperation. He starts searching the same objects again and again. He starts looking for places where there is no chances that he has lost his object. But he will go and search for things in those places also when the person is obsessed to find an object. So similarly, the mind is so obsessed to find pleasure that many times it seeks pleasure in obscure ways. Example is Adolf Hitler. Another example is Stalin. Someone asked Stalin, "What is your greatest pleasure or joy in life?" What was his answer? He said, "The greatest pleasure of my life would be a person comes in front of me who has complete faith and trust in me that I am his well-wisher. And then I take out my gun and I shoot him. And when I shoot him and when he's about to die, what expression he'll have on his face. Seeing that expression is the greatest joy of my life." For most of us, it's unthinkable that what kind of a pleasure is that? But that's an obscure kind of pleasure sought out by a desperate mind. A mind which is desperate for pleasure. So it is thinking, maybe I'll find pleasure here. So we should understand this, that ultimately the mind is looking for pleasure. And because we are not able to find any one object that is able to completely satisfy us, the mind is becoming more and more restless in this world. The mind is becoming more and more uncontrolled because it is becoming more and more desperate to find happiness, to find happiness. So there is bhoga tyag, bhoga tyag. The mind takes something, thinking it will give it happiness. But after some time, it rejects the same thing, thinking that it won't give me happiness anymore. What is that single thing that can give pleasure to the mind and satisfy the mind completely? This is the question. If answered, we'll get the answer to the question of how to control the mind. If a restless man who is desperately searching for something, if he's given that thing which he's searching for, then immediately he becomes peaceful. Then he's no more restless. He won't run here and there. He won't become uncontrolled. He won't become obstinate. Or if a child is brought to its mother, then it will automatically stop crying. It will automatically lose restlessness. It will become peaceful. It will start smiling. That's how simple mind control can be if only we understand what is that single thing
that can satisfy the mind completely. And Srila Prabhupada, that is the brilliance of the Bhaktivedanta purport. And in one purport, he summarizes the whole thing. Krishna says, practice and detachment. Prabhupada says, what does this mean? Practice hearing about Krishna. Simply hear about Krishna. The solution might sound simple, but it is profound. Because whether we know it or not, it is Krishna that every one of us is searching for. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. If a living entity is brought in contact with Krishna, only then he becomes completely satisfied. It's like sometimes, again, a child, it is thirsty and it is crying for water. But it cannot define what is thirst and it doesn't know that it requires water. But if water is given, it becomes satisfied. Similarly, most people in this world don't know what will give them happiness. But the Bhagavad Gita gives the answer. Krishna can give us happiness. It sounds simple, but try it. So that is why Prabhupada says here, simply hear about Krishna, pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. This is the mystery. If one simply hears about Krishna, then he comes in contact with Krishna. And then one experiences a kind of satisfaction. And because the mind experiences satisfaction, it becomes peaceful and happy automatically. So practice detachment. Now, practice is hearing about Krishna. It's like the mind, it is used to taking something, rejecting, taking something, rejecting, taking something, rejecting. It is so used to this habit of taking and rejecting because that's what it has done since lifetimes, because it has never found one thing that can completely satisfy it. So the tendency of the mind is take Krishna, reject Krishna. But no, practice taking Krishna. Because only Krishna can give you satisfaction. Now what is detachment? Detachment is take only Krishna and give up everything else. Why? Because only Krishna can give you satisfaction. Now when a person hears this, many times people, they become really bewildered or they become fearful. Only Krishna, nothing else. It is frightening. Only Krishna, nothing else. I have to give up everything. Only Krishna. Why this fear is there in the mind? Because the mind has never experienced any single thing in this world that has given it longing satisfaction. The mind has never experienced anything like that. So the mind naturally starts wondering, only Krishna, maybe in due course of time, Krishna stops giving happiness also. Then Krishna stops giving happiness and everything else is also not there, then where will I go? There is no backup mechanism anymore. Because the mind hasn't experienced anything in this world which has satisfied it completely. So naturally, a person finds this word detachment very, very scary. Detachment. Because we are used to gaining pleasure from so many things in this world. Little pleasure from every places. Little pleasure from the family. When the family becomes too much to take, then office. Little pleasure at office. When the office and family becomes too much, then hill station or maybe movie. So in this way, the mind is used to taking little pleasure from different places. So it has no experience of finding complete satisfaction and happiness in one place. So naturally, when we hear that only Krishna, that might seem very fearful. But the Shastras explain, don't worry. try Krishna. Practice Krishna. Practice being with Krishna. Practice developing a relationship with Krishna. And when you start practicing developing a relationship with Krishna, you will find that Krishna is different from anything or anyone else of this world. Krishna is not like any other thing of this world, which only gives little satisfaction for little amount of time. Or Krishna is not like anyone else in this world who gives us pleasure for only a little amount of time. Krishna is someone who can give us pleasure unlimitedly for all time to come. It's a difficult concept to comprehend in the beginning. But the Shastras and the great Acharyas assure us, no, it's a fact. First practice, try it. Once you try it, you will see Krishna is different. Naturally, detachment takes place in due course of time without you worrying about it. Once you find someone who is giving you unlimited pleasure, where is the question of going to any other thing for seeking any extra amount of pleasure? There is no need, absolutely. Like, many people have this experience. Even I had this experience that I was into so many things before I came to Krishna consciousness. Like in my living room, I used to put at all obscure places various kinds of posters of cricket players and so many things. Once I was into cricket and all cricket players. Once I was into science and I used to put the photographs of scientists. Seeing photographs of Faraday or Albert Einstein used to be my favorite. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, my father told my mother that this is one another passing thing. He is into so many things, now he is into Krishna also. This will also pass in due course of time. But even he was surprised when I stuck on to Krishna, not to leave Krishna since so many years. And then he thought, let me also try this. And now he is also chanting Hare Krishna. He's also hooked to Krishna. That is the power of Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. He is one object, one personality who can completely satisfy us. Bhagavatam, it gives some beautiful examples to give us this understanding. Dhautatma purusha krishna padamoolam namunchati mukta sarva pariklesha pantasva sharanam yatha. In this world, as I told, we have got very little experience of something which has given us lasting satisfaction. So the Shastras, they try their best to somehow give us this understanding that come on, try to understand. Krishna can completely satisfy you. And this is one such attempt wherein Shukadeva Goswami is telling what it feels like when we attain Krishna's lotus feet. Dhautatma purusha krishna padamoolam namunchati. A person who has completely attained Krishna's lotus feet, what is his experience? Mukta sarva pariklesha panta sva sharanam yatha. He becomes freed from all miseries and is completely satisfied, just like when a traveler returns back to his home. Now, this is an example which we can relate to some extent. That people in this world, they travel to distant places for different reasons. Sometimes for earning money. Sometimes for earning a degree. So many things. But ultimately, they're looking for that experience of coming back to their family. Like many Indians, they go abroad. They go to America and many European countries also to earn money. Maybe attracted by the opulences of the West. The attractions, the glare of the West. Being attracted by that, they go there. But
After going there, what do? They watch Bollywood movies. They're living in the land of Hollywood. Hollywood films are most sophisticated. High-class technology used. So sophisticated. But still, they're attracted to Bollywood movies. Why? Because deep within, that attraction to the homeland exists. That homely feeling they get by watching Bollywood movie. Now, I have heard that many of these people, they are criticized by their neighbors. They are laughed at by the people around them. What Bollywood movies you are watching? You know, running around trees. And all of a sudden, someone starts singing in the middle of the movie. You don't know from where the music comes. No, you don't find musical accompaniments when the film is going on. The hero is singing and all of a sudden music comes from nowhere. So it is ridiculous actually, Bollywood movies. But still people love to watch it. In Hollywood movies you don't find it. They don't have songs in between. For that there are different albums altogether, only songs. But here Bollywood movies, very strange. We might have adopted many of the technologies to develop our movies, but some things remain the same. Like songs. They still remain in Bollywood movies. So many people of the West, they ridicule. What is this? Running around trees, from nowhere music comes. And running around trees. But still, in spite of being ridiculed, they like to watch it. Why? Because that homely feeling is there. And then, they like to go to Indian restaurants. They're attracted to the West. They have gone to the West. But still, attraction to homeland idlis, dosas, parathas, etc. that still exists. And then many of the times, it's really mysterious, it's funny. But many people, they go to the West, then they become devotees there. They become Krishna conscious devotees there. Because as long as they were in India, they don't inquire about what is Bhagavad Gita, what is spirituality. But once they go to the West, there's so much craving for their homeland that they think that, okay, Hare Krishna temple is there. It is our Vedic temple. Let's go and visit this Vedic temple. They go there and then they end up becoming devotees. So many people become devotees there. So we understand this phenomena, that attraction to home. Many students, for high careers, they leave home and travel miles to stay in a hostel for higher studies. But within a few days, they become so homesick. Many times they have to quit their studies and they have to return home. It happens a few times. So that attraction is there. And the Bhagavatam gives understanding that deep-rooted attachment which we have for home, for anything connected to the home, that is the flavor which is there at Krishna's lotus feet. So once a person attains that, he understands, enough of traveling now. This is home, sweet home. Real sweet home is Krishna's lotus feet. And once a person attains it, he has no more desire to go to any other place. Bhagavatam gives one more very nice example. Parijate anjasa labdhe sarango anyanna sevate twadangri mulamasadhya sakshat kim kim vrani mahi. The Bhagavatam gives the example of a honeybee. A honeybee is restless. It is running here, flying there. What? In search of what? In search of honey. But the Bhagavatam says that once the honey sits on the Parijata flower, then the nectar of the Parijata flower, it is so satisfying to the honey, and that nectar is unending. It never gets exhausted. So the nectar is inexhaustible, and secondly, its taste is ever increasing. So why will the honeybee ever leave the Parijata tree, Parijata flower? So similarly, a devotee or a soul, or in this case the mind is running here, there, everywhere, restlessly to find pleasure in this material world. But once the mind finds the nectar which is available at the lotus feet of Krishna, once it starts drinking that nectar factually, then what happens? The mind will never leave Krishna. Because the amount of happiness which it gets, it's unlimited, and the flavor is ever new. Bhaja Hure Mana Shri Nanda Nandana. It is said, Govinda Das prays that, my dear mind, please try to focus on Krishna. Understand that simply by focusing on Krishna, all your desires will be satisfied and you'll be completely happy. And one last example, which is given by Shukadeva Goswami in the third canto. Ye tutvadiya charanam bujakosha gandham jigranti karna vivarai shrutivadanitam bhaktyagrahita charana parayachatesham na paishinataradayam buruhat swapumsam. Ye tu tvadiya charanam bujakosha gandham. The understanding is given that there is a fragrance. We discussed about the nectar which is available at the lotus feet of Krishna. We discussed about the satisfaction which is available at the lotus feet of Krishna. Now this verse describes the fragrance that is available at the lotus feet of Krishna. Ultimately the mind is seeking some fragrance, some taste, some feeling. And all these things can be satisfied at the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, the Bhagavatam is speaking about the fragrance from the lotus feet of Krishna. Tvadiya charanambuja kosha gandham. When that fragrance, that gandha, jigranti karna vivarai shrutivata nitam. When that fragrance enters through the holes of the ears and reaches the heart. How does the fragrance of the lotus feet of Krishna enter through the ear, enter through the ears? Through the medium of sound vibration. When we hear about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear about the activities of Krishna, when we hear about the qualities of Krishna, when we hear about the beauty of Krishna, then that sound vibration carries the fragrance available at the lotus feet of Krishna. And when that sound enters the ears, along with the sound enters the fragrance. And when that fragrance touches the heart, what happens? Bhaktya grahita charana parayachatesham. The devotee catches hold of Krishna's lotus feet, never to let go of it. Napaishinataradayam buruhat swapumsam. Such a person, he will never let go of Krishna's lotus feet. Once he has received that fragrance, which is obtained by hearing about Krishna. So that is why we see Prabhupada, he knew this principle so well, that simply if a person hears about Krishna, his life has to change. That was his confidence. That's why he went to the West. People, they had never heard the name Krishna, what to speak of the activities of Krishna. The hippies, they had no understanding of what is Krishna, what to speak of, who is Krishna. And here Prabhupada was speaking about Krishna to them directly. And here Prabhupada was telling them, Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka. An unbelievable phenomena for the modern mind. But he was confidently telling these things to the hippies of the West, who were skeptical to the highest extent. they wouldn't believe anybody. They wouldn't believe their parents. They wouldn't believe society. They wouldn't believe anything. They only believed in their own experience. And here is Prabhupada telling that Krishna has 16,108 wives. Why? Because Prabhupada, being a pure devotee of the Lord, someone who had tasted the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, knew it. He had drunk it, so he knew it. That once a person gets a taste of this, then everything will make sense. 16 lakh will also make sense once he gets that taste. So he was speaking about Krishna. And it worked. These hippies, they became transformed people and they became addicted to Krishna. Those people who were addicted to drugs, this singer whom we are talking about, he was addicted to drugs so much. So much addicted to drugs, he couldn't live without it. Such people, they could easily give up their addictions, old addictions, and they got addicted to the supreme drug, that is Krishna, who can completely satisfy and make one happy. Beyond any phenomena of this world, they start experiencing that little by little. And then, that's it. That is the perfection of the soul. Because ultimately, we are all looking for happiness. And Krishna is a reservoir of all happiness. No one else can give us satisfaction. Only Krishna can give us satisfaction and complete happiness. And Prabhupada knew it. So, one of the first books which Prabhupada gave to the world was Krishna book. And Prabhupada told, in Krishna book, Prabhupada simply writes about stories of Krishna. Simply about the activities of Krishna. And these books were distributed to people who had no clue of who is Krishna. Who had no clue of the Vedic culture also. And these books were freely distributed to the people. Krishna book containing stories about Krishna. And in the preface of the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes this. This shows his confidence in Krishna's, in the nectar that is available at Krishna's lotus feet. One will find that by reading one page after another, an immense treasure of knowledge in art, science, literature, philosophy and religion will be revealed. And ultimately, by reading this one book, Krishna, love of Godhead will fructify. And then Prabhupada, he says, if one simply reposes his dormant loving propensity in Krishna, then his life becomes successful. This is not a fiction, but is a fact that can be realized by practical application. This is something which can be realized by practical application. So here Krishna is telling, practice and detachment. Practice. First, practice focusing the mind on Krishna till you find nectar. Still you start tasting the nectar at Krishna's lotus feet. And then there is no need of practicing anymore. It becomes automatic phenomena. Once a person tastes the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, then he's completely satisfied. He won't go anywhere else. But practice is required to come to that stage of starting to taste nectar at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then when one does this practice and when one starts tasting this nectar, naturally detachment arises. That is why Krishna says here that abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grahyate. Simple. How to control the mind? That question which is unsolved mystery in the outside world and which is an unsolved mystery even in spiritual circles many times. The yogis are wondering how to control the mind. In the histories of the yogis, Vishwamitra Muni, who couldn't control the mind. Shaubari Muni, who couldn't control the mind. That unresolved mystery, unresolved in materialism, unresolved even in the field of spirituality many times. And Prabhupada gives the perfect and a complete understanding of how to do it practically, very easily, without going to the Himalayas. An unbelievable thing can be achieved simply by how? Simply by practicing to perform devotional service to Krishna, that is practicing to come in contact with Krishna, which begins by hearing about Krishna. Simply sit and hear about Krishna. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Sthane stita srutigatam tanuvak manobe ye prayasto jita jitopi apitrais trilokyam. Simply, if one simply sits and hears about Krishna, he can conquer the unconquerable. He is referring to Krishna, who is unconquerable, who can be conquered, but also it applies to the mind. That which is unconquerable can be conquered simply by hearing about Krishna. That is the great gift that Prabhupada has given us, a practical gift which can be carried home. If you have a few rupees in hand, Krishna book, how much does it cost? 100 rupees, 120 rupees. Even if you don't have Krishna book, you can come here for free about Krishna in any ISKCON center, in any ISKCON temple. And simply by doing it, one can conquer the unconquerable mind. Thank you very much. Any questions? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.